Thank you, Bill Curry Ford, for presenting the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. General Manager Sean Sullivan wants to help you personally. Right, Sean?
Listen, you want to buy a car, service a car, do a body shop, sit down, talk bucks with me. I'm available 6 days a week. All right? So come into Bill Curry Ford, ask for me. We'll sit down. I'll take care of everything, and we'll talk some football.
I start with the salad, but I certainly don't end with the salad. Little side of guacamole. It's a freaking free-for-all. You got the chips, curly fries, of course. Maybe some wings to follow. Here's my problem. Those tacos are tough to beat.
Bucks fans, he is the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper is here. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, delivered to you exclusively thanks to BillCurryFord.com, who presents all of Ira's work. Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's family-owned Ford dealer, 63 years, 0% financing is available now on 2022 models, Ira, plus no payments for 90 days, plus Sean Sullivan, the GM, is going to give you $500 and a gift card just for placing a custom order if you're going that route. And, of course, the Ira Kaufman discount is available for everybody. Nationwide lifetime warranty on new vehicles, and they have a fantastic used selection, certified pre-owned. It's all going on at BillCurryFord.com. You can check that out. And Sage, we've got a lot of other friends and things to talk about, of course. But Sage, how are you today? You were out at One Buck Place patrolling around. I know you were on the phone earlier today with Todd Bowles. That's always interesting. I'm not sure you can talk about that, but you can at least admit that you were on the phone with him. How are you?
Well, I got my Dunkin' Donuts coffin, so you know I'm good. And a couple of bags to bring home. And I'm still using a card that the Kemper gave me. Lee, it finally ran out. They told me that it's all tapped out. It's done. So that's my way of saying maybe another one should be on its way at the Kemper. I got no pride. I have no pride, Lee. You know that. But anyway, I'm in a good mood. Lee and I were down at One Buck. You know, we saw all the Taylor Swift wannabes. People showing up, 12:30 for our show that's probably going to start about 8:15. But that's okay. You know, that's the way I feel about Springsteen. That's the way they feel about Taylor Swift. When she writes a song as good as Thunder Road, I'll be a Taylor Swift fan. I survived Jason Light's press conference, as usual. Not much meat on that bone, but I don't blame Jason. You know, you go to 32 general managers, they all have this pre-draft meeting. I think it might be a league rule that you have to have it. Nobody gives away, Lee, no, nobody gives away any state secrets, nor should they. And you try to pin down Jason. Didn't you ask, Lee? I think you asked, what is the number one priority? Or Rock asked it. What is the priority on this team? And he won't give it away. I think it's edge rusher. Some people think it's offensive line. I don't care which of those it is, but it should be one of those two.
I don't think it should be edge rusher, and I'll explain. I asked Jason Light, okay, if you draft an edge rusher, and he busted out laughing because he knows I've got a hang-up about sacks. I love sacks. I want pressure. I can't get enough of it. I'm never satisfied. So I asked him, I said, I know rookie pass rushers don't normally have an impact. So what would you consider a good rookie season for an edge rusher? And his reply was, one that helps us win games.
It was a funny reply, but it wasn't a direct reply. Lee, I've been thinking about that. Lee, suppose he said something like 6 or 7 sacks, and that would lead you to say, well, in that case, Joe Tryon didn't have a very good rookie season. It's interesting the way he answered it.
Well, here's why I don't think they should draft an edge rusher. I'm the guy that wrote the story. I did the research. Todd Bowles cannot develop a rookie edge rusher. Whether you're talking outside linebacker, whether you're talking a defensive end, he can't do it. Or at least he hasn't done it. He's 0-6. He's had 2 high draft picks everywhere he's been as a defensive coordinator or head coach. With the Cardinals, with the Jets, with the Bucks. 0-6 so far. Now, granted, it may be too early to judge Logan Hall, and Joe Tryon still has a year or two to prove himself. But so far, 0-6. So I don't think there's a need to go out and waste a draft pick for Bowles not to develop.
Very interesting. Now, Lee, to be fair, as you are saying that, and I give you credit for your research, Steve, let us remember that while this guy was hardly a rookie, he was an unknown and hadn't done very much as an NFL player until Todd Bowles got his hands on Shaq Barrett.
He does very well with veterans. He cannot, or at least he's shown thus far, he cannot develop a rookie. So if the Bucs need a pass rush, Jason Light's going to have to bite the bullet, go out and get an established veteran pass rusher.
I don't think he's thinking that way. Steve, I don't think that's crossing Light's mind or the scout's mind. If they think Lucas Van Ness is that good and he's sitting there at 19, I think they're going to take him, Steve.
Well, there's a lot of ways to look at it, Ira, and that's what's going to make it so fun at our draft party at Big Storm Brewery in Ybor City. Sage, I took a look at the menu for you, and they've got pork nachos over there, and they've also got cheese curds. I know you like those with the marinara sauce. I've seen you with the pulled pork tacos many times. What's your scouting report on what you're going to be eating at the draft party, Big Storm Ybor City, Centro Ybor upstairs?
Well, I think I start with the Big Storm salad, just so I can say I had a salad. See, in case my wife asks me, what the hell did you eat over there? Of course, there'll be a bay beer in front of me quickly. I start with the salad, but I certainly don't end with the salad. I'll tell you what, those tacos are tough to beat, Steve. Little side of guacamole, you got the chips. That ain't too shabby. Maybe some wings to follow. And Steve, I'll pick off some of your curly fries, of course. Anything on your plate's open game, Steve. Open.
BigStormBrewery.com. You can see the whole menu. BigStormBrewery.com. Of course, tap rooms in Clearwater, Odessa, Cape Coral, Amway Center in Orlando. Draft party April 27th at 7 o'clock till the last pick. Huge place. A little bit of outdoor seating. A lot of fun ahead. Lots of Bucks fans. The Sage. BigStormBrewery.com. And of course, our Pick the Pick contest. Be your own draft guru and make some money. We got $1,000 in prizes from Florida's Elite Restoration. Thank you, Florida's Elite Restoration, for that. Florida'sElitereStoration.com is where you go when you have a disaster in your home, and then you call 24/7. They come out and they're going to assess, give you a free assessment, and somebody you can trust. We'll talk more about them later, Ira.
Steve, I'm going to go back to the draft party for a second and just salute Florida's Elite Restoration for this, for this draft pick contest. I think it's fantastic. This is real money we're talking about. They don't have to do that, Steve. They don't have to do that. Josh and his crew, boy, they do all the right things. They market well. They do a great job. Buck fans are going to have a ball. It'll be here before you know it.
Jason Light, Sage, the edge rusher thing, it's interesting because he made a comment that I wrote about and I thought it was kind of striking, mostly because we know Jason Light pretty well, obviously much better than the fans do. And he seemed very genuine when he made this comment in sort of an offhanded kind of way. But, you get to know somebody. He was very genuine when he said that it's an offensive dominated league now, and you want as many playmakers as you can get. And you hear him say that, and you look at the fact that the last two seasons, his number one pick was a defensive end in Tryon Soyinka and Logan Hall. Is he going to do three in a row? I don't think so. That would almost be unprecedented, and it doesn't necessarily look that great. Obviously, you got to go with who you like, but I'm getting more and more of the feeling that after spending all this money on defense and not paying Devin White, and looking at Antoine Winfield's contract looming as a top-paid safety, I think they want to draft a guy who can get it done on offense, and maybe that's a left tackle, but I think they're really looking on the offensive side, Ira.
Stevie, how I love to slap you around, and vice versa. You do a nice job keeping me in line. I got to say, I got no quarrel with anything you just said, Isbits. And great minds think alike, Lee. We know that. Great minds think alike. And Joe Bucks fan posted a story where they took that quote, which I think was the best quote that Jason Light said. Lee, it was an offhand comment. I don't think it was calculated to throw off other teams. You can tell, Lee. You can tell when he's been thinking about something and he says something. He just dropped it in. And by the way, Lee, it was a response to my question about drafting a running back. With the 19th pick. I never mentioned Robinson by name. I never mentioned the kid from Alabama by name. But what I said, Lee, was what if you were convinced, you and your scouting staff, that this guy at 19 was going to be like a Saquon Barkley, a Kamara, maybe even a Christian McCaffrey? Would you take him as a running back? He said he would. Lee, look, a lot of people have Robinson as one of the top five players in this draft, regardless of position. That is tough to pass up at 19 because, Lee, all these guys scream, we're taking the best player available. Well, if the guy's ranked in the top five, what about it? But anyway, Lee, then he said, you know, guys, this is an offensive league. And I think he let his guard down a little bit on that, Lee. I don't think it was to throw anybody off the scent. I think Steve's right. I think it's going to be an offensive player that includes the offensive line, which I don't think any of us would have a problem with if they thought there was a really good offensive tackle. You know, and if you keep Wirfs at right tackle, you're talking about plugging in a left tackle. I mean, that's a huge position. It's right there with quarterback, edge rusher, and then you go left tackle. If Wirfs makes the move, then you need a right tackle. And by the way, before I turn it over to you, Lee, finally got light and I finally asked, I had an opportunity to say, because I said it on the podcast, what about Hainsey? What, Hainsey can't play tackle? Hainsey's not in the mix at left tackle? If you don't move Wirfs, or right tackle, if you do move Wirfs, and I guess he answered it, Lee, the answer is he's not in the mix. He's an interior offensive lineman who played right tackle at Notre Dame. I don't think there's anything wrong with that analysis. I mean, you know, they see the tape. They see training camp. They think Hainsey's a guard. Okay, I got no problem with that. But I was curious because the guy played 3 years very well at college, big program, at right tackle. Lee, do you agree with Steve and I? We think they're going offense at 19.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like, you know, just to backtrack on what I said earlier, you know, why would you draft someone at a position where the head coach has had 10 years to develop a guy, and so far he hasn't done it? That's wasting a draft pick. That's dumb. And if I'm the Glazers, I'm holding up the Joe Bucks fan story saying, documented that Bulls can't coach up defensive ends or edge rushers. So why the hell did you draft an edge rusher? Unless you plan on getting rid of Bull. It's a business. It's an investment. You know, it's a wasted pick, wasted money. I don't think the Glazers are into wasted money. I could be wrong with that, but that's just me. You know, if you take Blight at his word, I'm not saying he's lying, but if we think these general managers are being dead honest with us at these pre-draft press conferences, well, then they're trying to sell us lakefront property in Arizona. So if we take him at his word, and that's a gamble, if we take him at his word, I got the impression it wasn't offensive line. It was skill positions. Well, you're not going to draft a wide receiver, so that leaves three things. Tight end, running back, and hold on to your seats, quarterback.
Steve, at the risk of being a total fool here, and you'll hold this over my head forever, and so will Buck Nation, but I think, Steve, you could make a strong, compelling case that the one position, I mean, forget about kicker. I'm not talking about kicker or punter. Steve, the one position they're not going to take at 19 is wide receiver. Yeah. I mean, can we get that out there, Steve? You got a problem with that?
Yeah, I got a problem with that, Ira. Absolutely, I got a problem with that. But first, I want to compliment you for saying, when you set it up with Steve, I love to smack you around, and then you didn't smack me around. You agreed with me. I think the key to that was the light from our knowledge of how he speaks and when he's sort of letting his guard down. I thought that was a moment. So that's really what I think you and I are most talking about. Not that I just thought that was a moment. That's all. But a wide receiver, you know, if they love a guy, why not? I mean, I don't see why not. You can't have enough wide receivers in the NFL. This was a horrible year for free agent receivers. Beckham Jr. was the biggest name in free agency, and it took him a long time to get a deal. It wasn't a big deal, and he's had some issues. There weren't really any other big names at all. You know, if they really get a guy they love, is it really a problem? They actually need receivers. If you're paying attention, they've got holes there. I wouldn't put it past them at all. I really would not put it past them at all. I don't think they'll do it, but I can't write it off. I could see if they get a guy that they love, that they think's a big, big stud, you know, go get him. And if you really feel you want to trade Russell Gage, I'm sure somebody will give you a high third day pick for him, given the lack of free agent receivers that were on the market this year.
Now I got a chance to smack Isbitz around, so I might as well take it. See, he can't rest on his laurels. He had laurels, he had a compliment, and then he has to go and disagree with me on the wide receiver.
I'm not lobbying for a receiver, Ira. I say I wouldn't put it past him, that's all.
All right, my only point is this, Lee. You're drawing up a list of the five best Buck players right now on Jason Light's roster. Two of the players out of those five happen to be wide receivers. Two of them. So you're going in and you got all these pressing needs, unlike other years. Anyway, I don't think they're taking a receiver. Now, Lee, I think I caught Light in the fib. No great shock. No headline, Lee. No headline. But I think I caught him in a fib. Because I asked him about life without Brady and not being all in and how this affects his approach to the draft. And, you know, classic Jason Light. Absolutely no effect, Ira. Zero. We approach it the same. The philosophy is the same. Get the best player, blah, blah, blah. That's a lot of nonsense, Lee. It's a lot of nonsense. And I'll tell you why. Lee, you return 22 starters. It's a tremendous luxury. It's unprecedented. So when you're drafting, you know, at 31 or 33 or whatever, you know, you take a guy and you say, well, a couple of years, we think this guy's going to be a good player. He's probably not going to help us much as a rookie. Lee, that's not the case anymore. You got holes. You got guys that need to plug in as starters. If your first round pick at 19 doesn't start, Lee, we got a problem. And Jason Light wants to minimize problems. So I don't buy him philosophy, you know, that nothing has changed without Brady. Everything's changed without Brady. He needs immediate contributors. And I'll go past number 19. I think they need to get at least two starters, maybe three, Lee, out of this draft.
Well, if he drafts Hooker at 19, you know he's not going to start. Okay. So I don't have an issue with that.
What if he drafts an offensive lineman and the guy doesn't start at 19?
Well, then it sure smells like a whiff then. And by the way, about wide receiver at 19, I don't think that's going to happen only because that smells like a reach. There's only one really good wide receiver in the draft. That's the kid from Ohio State. Then you're looking at, from what I read and what from I understand, and I'm not talking about mock draft fools. I'm talking about guys that worked in front offices, if not were GMs. They're talking about the next two wide receivers. You're looking towards the end of the first round.
Yeah, there's a Zay Jones. Some people like that guy, Steve. Zay yeah. Jones.
Well, Sage, did he fib? Did he lie to you when he said that? I don't know. But it's obvious that the philosophy has had to change a little bit. Previously, they were all in on the offense, and they got rid of, you know, guys that Brady was attached to here. And are they going to replace them? No, because he's not here. So it's got to be different. It's got to be a different mentality as far as treasuring the picks. And as you mentioned, this is a year where they need more. I think they need more than two rookie starters, Ira, probably three. What they're going to do at nickel is going to be very interesting. They have a feeling they probably have a couple of guys that they think can handle it. But maybe it's a free agent, Ira, because look, they're still working it. They signed a guy with a ton of starting experience, a guy who hasn't missed a game in the last couple of years, really, as a starter. Matt Filer, I believe that's how you pronounce his name. I heard it said a couple of different ways, but a journeyman guard tackle, undrafted guy, came out, took him 3 years to get into the lineup, but he got into the lineup with Pittsburgh, which is pretty impressive. You know, good offensive line culture, and Mike Tomlin there. Started there, right tackle, and then they moved to left guard there successfully, and he cashed in free agency. It was the last two seasons with the Chargers. So in comes this guy at 6'6", 330 pounds, and you know they told him he's going to be able to compete. So what do you make of that move and how that might shake up what they're doing here?
Guys, it's a freaking free-for-all on the offensive line right now. It is a free-for-all. You've got Wirfs, great. You've got Jensen, solid player when healthy. Solid player when healthy. If he's healthy, nobody's going to challenge Jensen. He's going to get the center job, as he should. Jensen's a guy who got better as a Buccaneer as his career progressed. Not very good the first year. I thought it might have been a mistake. And then he settled in very nicely. But Lee, the rest of it is a freaking free-for-all. You've got about nine guys. Now, look, Lee, just because you got nine bodies doesn't mean you're going to end up with a good offensive line. They got right guard to fix. They got left guard to fix. And they got one of the tackle spots with Donovan Smith gone. So you got, you know, you got the Gettekes of the world. They got Stinney. Don't forget about Stinney. Hainsey's in there. They picked up a guy. And Lee, they're certainly going to draft an offensive lineman or two with a premium pick. I think they have to. Absolutely have to. I didn't say 19. I said a premium pick, first three rounds. I think Light is working under the philosophy. You know, we got nine guys fighting for three spots. May the best man win. Well, Lee, that sounds good. Here's my problem. None of the nine guys have distinguished themselves at an NFL level. Let's be honest.
And I guess?
No, of course not worse. But I mean, I'm saying the nine guys fighting for the three spots that are open, none of them are distinguished. Hainsey was okay. Gettekey, okay. Stinney, short, very short balance on his resume. Steve, it's going to be crazy in training camp to try to fill these offensive line spots, especially when not that long ago they had five guys coming back. Boy, that continuity meant a great deal to Brady, meant a great deal to this offense, and it was a big reason they scored 30 points a game for those 2 years, and then it all fell apart last year.
Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Get there. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. That's where you go to learn all about what to do when you have a problem in your home like fire, flood, mold, storm damage. You call Florida's Elite Restoration. They'll give you a free estimate, free assessment of what's happening in your property, and they will work quickly so you don't hesitate and you don't let a problem linger. And you need to, in order to make sure you get your insurance coverage that's coming to you, if that's the case. Florida's Elite Restoration owner, Josh Martin, he and his team have a combined 25 years on the insurance side of things to make sure you don't get ripped off and to make sure your job is done right and you get the funds due that are coming your way. Florida's Elite Restoration, family owned, and they're fantastic. Ira knows a lot of people that have used them. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Get there, bookmark it, so you're prepared. Hey, Ira, even in the last podcast, that we went very deep on Devin White and all the angles there, and anybody can listen to that at joebucksfan.com, Apple Podcasts, all the podcast platforms. Light addressed the Devin White situation. And one thing that I didn't hear, which I thought was very interesting, is he never said Devin wants to come back and wants to work this out and hopefully we'll get there. He didn't even mention that at all. All he said was that, well, hopefully we can put this to rest after White has a good year in 2023 and I'm not holding this against Devin and he's a great guy and you know him. And he didn't ever say or imply that Devin White wants to be a Buccaneer. And I thought that was really strange. You know, he didn't even try to go there or hint that this is no big deal. What do you make out of that, guys?
I noticed it, Steve. I don't read that much into it. Lee, from what I can determine at this point, I don't think I'm stretching here or reaching. They're not going to give in. They're not giving them as 80 or 100 million right now. And I don't think they're trading them either. They're operating under the assumption he doesn't have a lot of leverage, if at all, any leverage at all. It's not the first time in the NFL this has happened. He may not show up the first day of training camp, but Lee, what's he going to do? Sit out the season at the age of 25 and then go on from there? That's not a likely scenario. That's bad advice from his agent. You know, they have some discomfort that this got out, that the agent made a phone call. They would prefer to handle this internally. Who wouldn't, Lee? But I don't know. I don't think they're losing that much sleep about this Devin White situation. I think they hold all the cards here.
Well, I will just repeat what I said on the last podcast. I would call up Houston, and I would see, okay, is this available? If they say yes, then I start trying to come up with some kind of package which includes Devin White. Because if he doesn't want to be here, that tells me he's gone after next year. So why let him walk for nothing when you might be able to trade him for C.J. Stroud? You got to be proactive here. And I know Bowles wants him, but I got two things to say about that. Number one, if Bowles is this great defensive coordinator that we think he is, then, hey, Todd, you find a way. We'll get another linebacker. But you find a way to come up that defense. Defense is going to collapse without Devin White. That's number one. Number two, how do we know Todd Bowles will be here next year?
Lee, I think they're betting on Devin White to have a big season. He's, you know, to be motivated to have a big year, to cash in. Lee, they'd like to sign him to a second contract, you know, if he continues to develop and not regress. If he gets back to his 2020 form, Lee, I think they'll pay him.
Well, that's just it. I think there's, at least for me, I think there's a pattern here. If he would, you know, we keep saying this. I keep saying this. Other people keep saying this. I'm just as guilty as everyone else. If he plays up to his 2020 level, well, he's had two seasons to do that, and he's not done it. So that tells me, number one, he can't do it, or number two, Bowles is using him wrong. And if that's the case, that's a whole different story. That's a whole different story. And I have to say this, and you guys know I like Todd Bowles, and you guys know I went on this podcast a couple months ago, if that, and I said I think Todd Bowles gets a mulligan this year because, you know, because he got the Bucs to the playoffs. Well, you know what? After I did that research on the edge rushers, and I got to thinking, okay, he's 0-for-2 in developing quarterbacks, high draft pick quarterbacks, 0-for-3 if you count Trask. If you want to count Trask, okay. If not, that's all right. But he's 0-for-2 for sure. And then he's 0-for-6 with edge rushers that are drafted high. So if you can't develop a quarterback, the most important position on the team, if you can't develop an edge rusher, the most important player on the defense, and you can't win, he's got 4 losing seasons in a row, then what's the point?
Well, Lee, I think you're being a little harsh on Bowles in this one respect. You're not being harsh on him as a head coach because, yes, no question, I think even Bowles would say it, Steve, he's got a hell of a lot to prove as a head coach in the National Football League. No question about it. But, Lee, I'm not going to nitpick Bowles as a defensive coordinator. He's one of the best ones in the league. He's proven it.
I think he's a hell of a defense coordinator. I'm not nitpicking him, but I'm also not going to ignore a glaring hole in the roster. A glaring
hole. Well, maybe he doesn't have enough.
If Dirk Koetter was here and they went through 3 or 4 quarterbacks that were drafted in the sixth round or second round or better, wouldn't you say it might be time to move on?
Well, I'm just saying what he did with this defense last year, I think it's pretty impressive considering, you know, the guys that they lost and Shaq Barrett missing half a season, some injuries to the secondary, and yet, for the most part, it was a top-10 defense. Now, they didn't show up in the playoffs. Terrible. Terrible performance against Dallas. No excuses. But, Steve, he knows how to manufacture a pass rush. He does. And, look, there's roster holes. There's roster holes on this defense. This is not...
I want to be clear. I'm not knocking Bowles as defensive coordinator. Think he's damn good, but I'm also not going to ignore a major, major weakness. And when you add it all up, okay, he's not winning games, he can't develop a quarterback, can't develop a rookie edge rusher. Again, what's the point?
Who are some of these rookie edge rushers, Lee? Who are they? I'm just interested in whether these guys ever made it after they left Bowles.
Yes, they did.
I personally can't go there because since he's done well with the veterans, then okay, then, you know, give him veteran edge rushers and he does well with them. So, like, so to me, it doesn't matter. Oh, if you can't develop a rookie, okay, then get him a veteran and he does well with those guys. So, and you can do that.
And I agree. You know, like, you know, Ira was saying earlier, well, you know, I can't dismiss them drafting another edge rusher. And I said, they better ignore it. They better not do it because the evidence is there. You're throwing away a draft pick.
I don't think that's going to enter the equation, Steve. I really don't. I don't think they're going to say Todd Bowles can't develop so-and-so, so we're not going to draft an edge rusher.
That's ignore. I mean, my God. I mean, that's like saying, hey, that brand new car I want to buy, it doesn't have an engine in it. Screw it. It looks cool. I mean, come on.
How good were these players, Lee? How good were they?
Okay, here we go, Ivor. Here we go. And by the way, I don't care how good they are. If you draft a guy, I mean, this is a pattern, Ira. It's not one or two. It's friggin' six. That's a pattern. Cardinals, Alex Okafor. basically did nothing with Bulls. He was okay. He was okay. I mean, why are you trying to shoot holes in the freaking truth? I don't get it. Alex Okafor, he was with Bulls. Kareem Martin, nothing. Third round pick. Jets, Lorenzo Maudlin, third round pick. Outside linebacker. But 4 sacks as a rookie, he's out of the league. Leonard Williams, he was 6th overall pick. He didn't have double-digit sacks until he went to the Giants, and the Giants moved him inside.
Lee, he was actually inside with the Jets pretty much only inside. He made the Pro Bowl his second year with the Jets.
Well, then Pro Football Reference, they had him at OLB, which is outside linebacker, and I know that I didn't watch any Jets games when he was there, so I can only go by what the documentation was. And if it's wrong, then I'm sorry. Then we got Joe Tryon-Shoyanka, Mr. 4 sacks, and Logan Hall, which is unfair to, you know, the jury's still out on him. You know, it's very unfair to write him off after just a rookie year.
All right, Lee, here's my bottom line. Again, credit for doing the research. Steve, those names tells me one thing. There were a lot of bad draft picks. That's my analysis, Lee. Bad draft picks. I mean, you mentioned that guy in the third round. I never heard of the guy. Kareem whatever. The guy stunk. He's no good. You're going to blame Bulls for that?
So, okay, let me get this straight. If all those guys are, you got to blame the front office. It's nothing to do with Bulls. His hands are clean. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, you just said yourself, Logan Hall, we can't. You know,
okay, over five then. Are you telling me 5 players in a row at edge rusher, Todd Bowles says his hands are clean? He had nothing to do. That's all the general manager.
Isfit said the guy made the Pro Bowl under Bowles in year two.
I'm not talking about the Pro Bowl. I'm talking about putting a quarterback on his ass. Two of those guys got better after Bowles left.
That's like Todd. Way to go! Way to go! He only got a couple of sacks. Freaking A! Let's kick Tony Dungy out of the Hall of Fame because he shouldn't be in there. We'll put you in there. Yay!
Steve, is somebody going to tell the Kemper that none of those guys are...
again, man.
None of those guys are Julius Peppers that didn't develop under Todd Bowles and then went crazy. I'm not buying your argument. I'm just not buying it.
Okay, well, don't come at me with facts again, then. And I'm serious. Because I think you're freaking narrative.
I think it told us more about making bad draft picks than Todd Bowles. In for most of those, you know. And I'm not counting Shoyanka either. I want to see one more year. I want to see one more year from him. I'm not counting either of the 2 buck guys. All right, what else we got, Stevie?
Well, the draft history part of it, the player production history part of it is interesting because you could argue that Jason Light shouldn't draft a running back because he's had such horrible, success with those guys overall. When you look at the guys he could have drafted in his tenure and guys he did draft and what they've done, so I don't think the front office is going to look at it like that for Bulls because I don't think they would look at. Turn the mirror on themselves when it comes to positions. They'll just keep trying and trying, but who knows? I mean, I still think they'll go offense, but Jason Light's history at running back is horrible, you know, including keeping Doug Martin, started his evaluation process that he had to pay Martin after he had a drug issue late in the season. He decided to pay him a lot of money to come back. So, but you know, that's what makes it fun.
Didn't Light say something on the quarterback issue that who says we won't take one? It's more competition if you got 3 guys fighting. Didn't he say something like that?
He did, but what's the point?
Did you take that to mean that they could draft Hooker at 19?
I would, but I'm not Jason Light, and we're not going to deal with facts. And why are we putting any stock into what the guy says?
Well. You and I have a difference of opinion on this, Lee. It happens. It happens. I'm not saying Bowles has a sterling record of developing rookie pass rushers. I'm not saying that. But I don't think we have enough evidence to say that would cause Jason Light to think twice about drafting an edge rusher, which is a big priority, Lee, in your mind and in my mind. It's a big priority. somewhere you got to draft an edge. Wait, Bowles has even said this year in Phoenix, I think. Boy, I'm shocked that, you know, the guys that are leading us in sacks are not coming from edge rushers. Steve, didn't he make a big point of that?
Well, he just talked about how they're not available in free agency anymore. The teams are keeping them, and less good ones are coming out in the draft. You know, of course, you could throw it back at him and say, well, hey, other teams are developing them, so maybe you don't have the magic sauce. But, of course, they got a new outside linebackers coach this year who Bowles hopes can be that that magic bullet, you know, which I think that says something that he changed, you know, edge rusher coaches. I don't know what it says, but it says something.
When I was writing a story the other day and checking on Shaq Barrett and how many games he played, and I guess it was eight that he played in, Lee, what I didn't realize, I mean, it really surprised me a little bit. He only had three sacks, Lee, when he was healthy. I'm not expecting 19 and a half sacks from Shaq Barrett. I mean, that, you know, that set an unrealistic standard, just like when Devin White had nine sacks, Lee, you know, two, three years ago. You can't expect that from an inside linebacker. But Lee, Shaq Barrett only had three sacks last year. What's going on with him? Should we be concerned besides the Achilles injury?
Well, Warren Sharp is concerned, and I'm concerned about the Achilles. I can't count how many times I said I don't expect Shaq to do much this year because of that. 30-year-olds getting an Achilles injury, it's not a good combo.
Light said that he's on track, he's on schedule. But I should have followed up and asked, when do you expect Shaq Barrett back on the field? I should have asked him.
He doesn't know anyway, Ira. He doesn't know. I mean, on schedule means, when they say that, that means with his rehab. So like, oh, okay, he had a good week. He got to move on to the next step in rehab. They don't really know until he's able to test it and sprint on it and all that stuff. It's a big mystery anyway, Sage. You didn't miss anything.
Yeah. Alicia, we expect Barrett on the first day of training camp? Should we?
I don't care, but I doubt that he'll be in pads.
Yeah.
I actually probably wouldn't expect him until right when the regular season starts.
Okay.
They'll just follow what they do, Ira, but I don't think they'll hold back with him. I mean, they're paying him a ton of money. I don't think they want to keep him on the bench for next year's Super Bowl run. I mean, they need wins, and they'll give him plenty of time to sort of rehab on the field. If the doctors clear him, they'll let him get in shape and see what he's got. But if he doesn't have much, I think he will find his way back to the bench pretty quickly if he's just, you know, if this isn't going to be his year, if he needs a year to recover. Sage, I didn't bring it up.
O.J. Howard returned to the field. That wasn't until August at least, wasn't it?
Well, O.J. Howard in 2021, he didn't miss a game. Yeah. He played every game for the Bucs. He just wasn't.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, when he returned to practice, I know the start of training camp, I know he wasn't, you know, he was on a side field working. So I'm trying to think when he actually returned to the field full go. And it might have been in training camp, but it was late. And his injury is what, the third game of the year, fourth game of the year?
Yeah, it was week four. I don't remember when he came back, but I know he played a little in preseason. So. Whatever that's worth.
Like I said, his injury was a good month earlier than when Shaq's was. So I'm trying to, you know, I know each, you know, injuries are never the same, but I'm kind of using that as a barometer.
Sage, on a lighter note, we didn't discuss this, but it really resonated with fans who were in disbelief, and it's the second Mark Dominic story of this season that has blown people away. But I got to bring it up because Dominic let it loose on the radio, and I almost drove off Dale Mabry there into a ditch. And they asked him on Sirius, because he's one of their draft gurus, the former Bucks general manager, Mark Dominic, the guy before Jason Light for the newer fans. And
I think he's doing a Q&A next week, Steve. I think he's doing one.
Yeah, I mean, he's their draft guru. I talked to him at the Combine, and he's their guy, and he's full bore into it, and he works with a lot of draft picks, prepping them for talking to GMs and meetings and draft visits. So he actually knows a lot of the players and knows a lot of what the agents are pushing and all that stuff. But anyway, Dominic was asked for his sort of, did he ever sit down with a guy and sort of interview him and then decide, no, I don't want this guy, but I should have taken him in hindsight. And to make it short, Dominic says on the air, he sat down with Cameron Jordan in 2011 and they really liked him. They loved his film. And his scout in California was banging the drum. This guy's great. And his dad played in the NFL and he gets it and all this stuff. And he sat down with Cameron Jordan and he thought Cameron Jordan talked so much and just couldn't stop talking that he might be a bad fit in the locker room with young players who at that time were Josh Freeman and Mike Williams and LeGarrette Blount. He thought he might be a bad fit in there because he just talked and he talked so much. You know, he thought maybe he wouldn't shut up and he wouldn't be a good fit.
Who'd they end up taking, Steve?
Dominic admitted that he overthought it, and they ended up taking Adrian Claiborne.
Lee, you can't make this stuff up, Lee. I know you got a warm spot in your heart for Mark Dominic. You had a good relationship with him. I was up and down with Dominic. I like some things about him. Some things I definitely didn't like about him. How he catered to the national media, to the detriment of the local media. I didn't like that at all from Dominic. He'd spill his guts to national writers and then give the cold shoulder to the guys that cover the Bucks on a daily basis. I didn't like that. But, Lee, between that's between this story and the story about the food with the prospects, he's not doing himself any favors with Buck Nation, Lee. No. To remind everybody they could have had Cam Jordan, who knows? I mean, they might have ended that 12-year playoff drought a little earlier and not wait till Brady comes to town if they had a guy like Cam Jordan. Now, Claiborne wasn't awful, but he ain't no Cam Jordan. And I know he had 6 sacks in 1 game, Claiborne. Good for him. That's one afternoon. Jordan's been a stud for about 12 years. Lee, I don't think Dominic's doing himself any favors with some of these stories.
This story is funny on a couple levels. You know, he's worried about a locker room presence with Cam Jordan, who by all accounts is a stand-up guy. I mean, yeah. I know Bucks fans don't like him because he's uninhibited when a microphone's in front of him. And he's been nice to me, although he said some pointed things when I've talked to him. But I love guys that talk. But anyway, he's worried about Cam Jordan being a cancer, and this is the same guy who's got Aqib Talib on the roster. that's number one. And what's funny is, I was talking to a front office suit at the Combine once about pass rushers, and he was telling me, if you do the research, the common denominator with every edge rusher, every good edge rusher, a common denominator is they're a little off kilter. They've got a bizarre personality. You know, for example, even Reggie White, you know, when he would sack a quarterback, he would bless the guy. You know, that's not exactly normal, you know. But by the way, we got talking, and I said, you know what? I can only think of one decent edge rusher that was, you could say, was really level-headed guy. And that's Leroy Selman. So I think it's funny, you know, Dominic, like, oh, no, he talks too much. And the suit I talked to, and this was a couple of years ago, it's the exact opposite. That's what you want. You want a kind of personality as your edge rusher. Like, oh,
you know, to Lee's point, Steve, that was a dysfunctional locker room, the Bucks had.
Well, it really was. Here's the thing. It wasn't dysfunctional at that time, right? So it's after the 2010 season. They just came off winning 10 games. They needed pass rush help, which was why they were going for the edge rusher. And Dominic basically said they didn't take the best available guy. But the reasoning, Ira, because he talked too much, like Dominic didn't say that he was rude or he said stupid things or he was out there or he was incoherent. I mean, Cam Jordan is a really sharp guy. He went to Cal. He's missed, meanwhile, he's played his career. He's missed 2 games, 8 Pro Bowls. I hate to say it, Ira. It's not my area of expertise, but he's going to end up in the Hall of Fame, all-decade player, all that stuff, still going. But, you know, the reasons this guy didn't draft players is insane. It's amazing the Bucks won 10 games.
One final point, Lee, on Cam Jordan. I think it's fair to say it. Cam Jordan, he's the only pass rusher in the league, I think, that has on occasion made Tristan Wirfs look mortal.
The guy that comes to my mind of someone that makes Tristan Wirfs look mortal was Khalil Mack. Wirfs. Wirfs not a little guy. He literally hip-checked him and got a sack on Brady. But Wirfs holds his own. He holds his own most of the time.
with Jordan.
That was very early in Worf's NFL career, to be fair. It was.
Yeah, okay. Sage, you're right. And Worf's actually talked about that last year, that Jordan is his toughest matchup, but he only had Khalil Mack that one time, and it didn't go too well, as we all saw. All right, Ira, look, we're going to get out of here. We got more draft stuff coming up. We're fired up. We've got Bill Curry Ford as our friends over there, 24/7. You can reach him at BillCurryFord.com. Fired up for the draft party. A lot more information coming as we get to the countdown now, and you'll see it on JoeBucksFan.com. Big Storm, Ybor City, Centro Ybor upstairs.